This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening, and they're back on the job at Verizon. Those sounds are gone. Who are we? CWA, the Communications Workers of America, one of the unions in the strike. About 39,000 Verizon workers are leaving the picket lines after 7 weeks on strike. Both sides emphasizing positives in this deal. Verizon says it's good for business and employees. The workers' new four-year contract includes more than a 10% pay increase, a promise to keep customer service jobs in the U.S., and an end to temporary shifts that would send workers far from home for weeks at a time. At the beginning of the strike back in April, Verizon executives were saying that union leaders were ignoring today's digital realities. And indeed, the strike appeared to be centered on the old landline business. But the most important development in the settlement might just be the way the union has successfully organized some wireless workers. 160 Verizon employees who worked at Verizon's wireless stores in Brooklyn and Massachusetts. Those workers voted to unionize in 2014, but have never had a contract until now. A small step, but a huge symbol of possible change to come. Bianca Cunningham is a former Verizon worker in Brooklyn and a union organizer at her store. She was fired from her job last September, has filed a grievance with the National Labor Relations Board claiming she was targeted for her organizing, but she's smiling today.
So what was achieved in this strike for Verizon Wireless was that we were able, after bargaining at the table with the company for over 2 years now, we were able to come out with a strong contract with good job security, really good just cause language, and some minor improvements in wages.
And how does that affect you personally?
So how it affects me personally is that now some of the money that was incentivized before in my job will now be guaranteed and rolled into my base salary, which of course is nice, right? I don't have to jump through hoops to attain that money. Also, it means that I have more job security. My coworkers have more job security, just cause language, and we're no longer at will employees. And when I do return to work, it won't be easy for them to fire me.
Now, describe that situation. I mean, they weren't particularly happy with your organizing of wireless workers, which is a huge challenge in the communications industry right now.
It's a huge challenge because I believe it's something new that organizing is going into, like, how do we organize retail workers? The schedule is erratic. It's not a Monday through Friday. There's not, like, the turnover is high. The union is significantly younger. How do we educate them about the importance of unions and what they've been able to accomplish for other workers in the past? And so we've just been trying to educate people and empower them to stand up for themselves and want better.
There was a real sense that the Verizon strikers were under the radar during the entire period that they were out. It was a rainy, messy, yucky time in the East during the spring. You would see them. There wasn't really much of a cause celeb. How did you keep your morale up?
I think we were really empowered by the support that we've received from Senator Sanders during his campaign run. He's visited several picket lines. He's also picketed stores with me for my own job in Times Square, even last year before the strike was even on the table. I think we were also empowered by him shouting us out in the Democratic National Debate. Those are all things that make us feel like we're doing something right and bringing our cause to everyone's living room, like in their television. And I think that we also received a tremendous amount of public support from people on the street, from people via internet. And so we drew off of their energy.
Now, a lot of people were saying, certainly a lot of academics were saying that it appeared as though Verizon wanted to break the union once and for all and just change its cost of doing business and get out of the landline business altogether. First of all, do you see Verizon getting out of the landline business? And if so, does that affect the ability to organize?
I think that what Verizon has been trying to do is enlist the subcontractors. Even if you look at, like, with the Fios installations, most of the people who were employed with them were from subcontractors. So what happens is that they're trying to replace the union workers with them and then initially freeze out, right, wireless from the union so that they don't have this problem in the future. We all see that. This is why they fought wireless so hard to even have a contract, and our wins were modest because they don't want to make it attractive for other wireless stores and other places to be able to want to join the CWA.
Is Verizon your enemy as a union employee, or are they collaborators in some model of prosperity?
I believe that Verizon can be our collaborators and are our collaborators, and that's the only way that we will effectively go organize other wireless stores going forward is by us working together and understanding that how to live with one another.
Bianca Cunningham, where do you where do you expect to go back to work?
We're waiting for the decision. It can be any day now.
And somewhere in Brooklyn.
Somewhere in Brooklyn, 86th Street stores where I used to work. So,
Bianca Cunningham is a former Verizon Wireless employee in Brooklyn and a union organizer. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So Stephen Greenhouse now joins us, a former labor reporter for The New York Times. Welcome, Stephen.
Hi, John.
So we've just spoken with Bianca Cunningham, who's a reasonable-sounding labor organizer in the wireless space for Verizon workers. Does she represent some future of the labor movement in the United States, people like her? Or is she just a voice of the wilderness to be overwhelmed by circumstances and economic change?
Yes and no, John. The number of strikes in the nation has greatly declined from about 300 a year in the 1950s to about 10 a year now. So unions are rare because unions realize that they're very painful and companies have gotten much more sophisticated in beating them. However, the Verizon strike kind of had a different result. The union seems to have emerged largely victorious. It really held strong. It really hurt Verizon. Verizon, I think, expected the union to crack. Wall Street analysts say Verizon lost about $200 million because of the strike. It installed less Fios. Its Verizon Wireless brand was hurt. And I think what happened is, you know, the union was able to do better at the bargaining table than many people thought. Verizon canceled a plan to freeze pensions at 30 years. It gave a larger raise than it seemed to be intending. So Bianca, you know, while some might say, oh, she's an organ labor organizer and unions are obsolete, you know, this strike in ways showed that, you know, even today when unions are on the defensive, when they hold strong during a strike, you know, they could win real improvements and beat back demands for concessions.
Is the retail area where retail stores, Verizon retail stores and AT&T stores and elsewhere, is that a huge sort of untapped resource of workers for labor unions in this field?
Yes, in many ways. You know, the strike mainly involved so-called landline workers, you know, the old, you know, telephone at home, you know, why, you know, where you hold the wire rather than wireless. But, you know, one of the breakthroughs here for the union, for the two unions that were involved, actually, was it for the first time won a union contract for nearly 70 wireless workers. And now that Verizon Wireless workers, that some Verizon Wireless workers have a union contract, that might encourage thousands of other Verizon Wireless workers at retail outlets throughout the country to say, hey, look what those 70 workers got. They got better pay. They got better benefits. Clearly, the Communication Workers Union now is going to step up efforts to try to unionize dozens and perhaps hundreds of Verizon retail wireless shops across the country.
Where's the bottom here in terms of percentage of unionized workers? Have we reached it? Is the trend line going to go up ever?
This is the $64,000 question, John. The percentage of private sector workers and unions keeps falling, you know, every year or two. And unions are struggling to find out ways how to increase membership. And some are saying, you know, it's so hard to win unionization elections because companies fight them so hard. We have to find other ways to raise wages, raise benefits, rally workers. So we've seen, you know, this humongous Fight for 15 movement, which is not a traditional union movement. It's not, you know, holding unionization votes to try to get McDonald's workers to join a union. It's just rallied tens of thousands of workers around the country, and it seems to be pretty successful in getting some, you know, while McDonald's has not agreed to pay $15 an hour at any of its stores, the Fight for 15 movement has gotten, you know, Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco, California, much of New York State to agree to pay $15, you know, to pass laws that will require $15 an hour. And that is, I think, winning some support for the union movement. People say, look, the unions have done this for us, and maybe we should support the unions, whether they vote to become union members is another question. I think unions are experimenting with new forms of rallying workers to win better wages and better working conditions.
Stephen Greenhouse is a former labor reporter for The New York Times and author of The Big Squeeze, Tough Times for the American Worker. Maybe not so tough looking ahead. Thanks, Stephen.
Thanks, John. Be well.